there might be someone who is struggling with this today. So we're excited about digging into this and really seeing how we can bring God's word to light. Before we do that, why don't we bow our heads and let's pray. Father God, we thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you for our band. We thank you for Chip, the music, all to bring us into an atmosphere of worship where we can focus on you, God. God, you know where people are in the pew today. You know what's on their hearts. They might be concerned about family members, loved ones. They might be brokenhearted about relationships or about frustrations or disappointments. They might even be angry and frustrated with you or don't even know if you exist. I pray today that you would shine your light on them today. By your Holy Spirit, may you touch us, God, and may you help us to understand that one of the reasons that Jesus came to earth to suffer and die for us is so that we would not have to live in our guilt and shame forever. Thank you for all this. Jesus, and we pray. Amen. Today, we're going to be reading out of Psalm 51. So if you have your Bible with you, or if you want to open your pew Bible, you can flip to do that. And as you're doing that, I have a story for you. Here's a real-life story. When I was in college, I used to work during the summers as a camp counselor. And we worked in a camp in New Jersey for inner city teens. And we loved working with these kids. They were great, but many of them came from broken homes. Many of them were impoverished. Many of them were dealing with different issues. And it was one day, we had sent the kids out to do an activity, and I was inside the bunk, and we used to have these lovely bunk beds. Where the kids would stay and things like that. And as I was walking by one of these sets of bunk beds, I got hit by a certain smell. And I paused for a second. I was like, what in the world is that? And I walked over and I figured out it was coming from the top bunk of this particular bunk bed. And so I got a little closer and I did what I shouldn't have done. I actually took my hand and placed it on the bed. And it was wet. Instantly, I knew. I pulled back the cover, and one of the students had wet the bed. Now, for this age group, I think it was a student who was in sixth grade, so it wasn't something I was really expecting. And again, as I pulled back the cover, just the smell hit me. As this happened, a couple thoughts went through my head, a couple words went through my head. I won't share those today with you today on Sunday morning. But the first thing that hit me was this. I was frustrated. I was frustrated that a student had done this and not told me about it. He had done this and he had actually made up his bed to make it look like everything was fine. And I was frustrated by the fact that I had to find out about this in this way. You know, why couldn't he have just told me? So I actually called the student in. I just talked to him privately, you know, just to see what was going on. And the student said something that actually left me barely confused. He admitted, yes, I wet the bed. And but he said, that didn't happen last night. That happened a couple days ago. So the student had been sleeping in his mess for a couple days. And I was flabbergasted. I was confused. Why wouldn't you have told me about this? Why would you sleep in your mess for a couple days? Well, what he told me next changed my whole attitude. It filled me with compassion. Because he said he knew the students, the other students in the bunk. And he was worried if they found out that he would be made fun of. He felt ashamed by what he did, and he was so afraid of being found out that he didn't want to say anything. Instead of admitting what had happened, he would rather lay in his bunk and just deal with it for the whole week instead of sharing with me. Again, that moment, my heart was filled with compassion that a student would be willing to do that just because they were afraid, because they were embarrassed. But I understood because I've been there too. I've had things that happened that's embarrassed me, and I didn't want anyone to find out about. So we cover it up. We make up the bed like nothing's wrong, but we know there's still a mess there. And what he said next made me saddest of all. You see, the students were just with us for a week, so they didn't know us personally. And he said that he thought if he had told me and my other counselor mate, we had two in the cabin, that we would have embarrassed him, that we would have told the whole cabin that we would have shared what had happened. That made me sad because this student didn't understand my character. Out of all things that happened, if he had shared that to me, there was no way I would have shared that with anyone else. As a matter of fact, that's the reason I was talking to him privately. I wouldn't want him to be embarrassed. And it made me sad that he didn't realize about me. One last thing. I encouraged the kid. I said, hey, accidents happen. No problem. Don't worry about it. We're not going to share this with anybody. I don't want you to feel embarrassed. I don't want you to feel bad. And we actually talked a little bit more about this. This had happened when he was actually at home as well. So I said, much of you guys know, if you wet the bed, especially in sixth grade, a lot of times it isn't just a physical issue. There's other things, maybe a safety issue. You know, maybe there's other things. And so I talked a little bit about him and gave him some practical tips. But I was glad then, because then he let me help him clean up that mess. This story, we're going to go back to a couple times today, because this story is what we're going to focus on. You see, when we sin, when we break what we know is right, we make a mess. And oftentimes, instead of running to God, we're embarrassed about it. So we stay in our own sin, our own mess, over and over again, just like that student had done. And we forget that God's character is a character of love and compassion. God's not out to embarrass us. God's not out to tell the world what we've done. God wants to love us so much that he says, let me help you. Let me help you clean up that mess and show you how not to continue to do that. So that's what we're going to focus on today. We're going to focus on the good news that you do not have to live in your mess of guilt and shame. There's a God who is willing to cleanse and restore you. Now, one of the greatest passages, if you're dealing with guilt or shame, maybe something that you've done in the past, and before we go, has anyone ever done something they felt bad about? Anybody? Okay, good. I thought I was the only one. All right, so we're in the right audience here today, all right? If you've done something that you felt bad, maybe it was something small, maybe you slipped up and said something that you shouldn't, or maybe you made a joke that wasn't quite funny and someone took it the wrong way, or maybe it's something huge. Maybe the sin you did maybe broke a relationship. Or maybe you lied about someone and you now feel guilty. We all deal with guilt and shame sometime in our life. And if you're dealing with that, I think one of the best passages that you can open up and read is Psalm 51. Now, before we get to that, I have to give you some backstory about this. This psalm is from King David. King David is one of the people in the Bible that we celebrate as a hero. But sometimes we forget what David did. The Bible records that there was a time when all the kings went out with their generals to wage war and do things like that and keep peace. But David decided to stay at home. So number one, David wasn't where he was supposed to be. And the Bible says he was walking on top of his house and he saw a beautiful lady bathing. The Bible said David didn't turn away, he didn't run inside. No, he kept looking. And he even had the nerve to sin for her. This is Bathsheba. Someone else's wife. David went on, used his influence as a king to have her come. They slept together. He committed adultery and made her do that as well. And then he was worried that he might have gotten her pregnant. So David has a mess, and now he tries to cover it up. He sends for Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, who is a military person. He's off at war doing what David was supposed to do. And he tries to get Uriah to come home and have leave and be able to have fun and spend time with his wife. His thought is if Uriah sleeps with Bathsheba and they get pregnant and, you know, Bathsheba has a baby, everyone would assume it's Uriah's baby. But Uriah had a better character at that point than David did. Uriah said, no, I'm a soldier. My fellow soldiers are on the battlefield. I don't want to come and enjoy the pleasures at home when I know there's something I'm supposed to do. So David goes further. He conspires with his general to make sure that while Uriah is out at battle, that everyone would draw back and leave Uriah at the front lines so that Uriah could purposely get killed. This is his own soldier. It's like the president sending someone overseas and says, at the right time, everybody withdraw and leave him right there because I want you to kill him. This is what David does. Uriah ends up dying. And David doesn't even feel guilty about it. Until God has to send a prophet to him, Nathan. And Nathan comes and talks to him and says, gives him an example. Say there's a guy who had a sheep or a prized lamb. And it was all he had and he loved it. And say there's another guy who had a ton of flocks of sheep and lambs, but he stole this one lamb from this one person. What should happen to that guy? David, of course, is outraged. You should kill him. He should be put to death. That's when Nathan says, you are that man. You stole someone else's wife. You got her pregnant. and then you got her husband killed just to cover up your sin. Before we think too harshly of David, what do we do in our own lives? You see, in life and in this world, we like to rate sins. We like to compare our sins to others. Well, at least I didn't do what David did, so I'm fine. But how often are we like that student in the cabin who make a mess and then try to cover it up? See, what happens when we do that, we're then sitting in our mess. And that has a lot of implications. And that's the backstory. I want to take a couple minutes to do that. And if you guys, again, flip over to Psalm 51. This is David's response after Nathan comes and says, "Look what you have done." And David realizes, "Oh my goodness, look what I did." Psalm 51, verse 1 says, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again, for you have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and then I will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion, help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar." Psalm 51 is what David cries out when he is feeling guilty and shame, when he realizes the depth of what he's done. If you are ever in that moment, I encourage you to go back and read over Psalm 51. There's many things you can take for it. We just have a couple minutes today, so today I just want to highlight maybe some ways that if you're dealing with guilt or shame today, maybe it's stuff that you've done in the past, or maybe it's something that you might do in the future and you start feeling this way. I think Psalm 51 has some keys for us. First one is this: recall the goodness of God's character. Recall the goodness of God's character. Psalm 51:1 says this: "Have mercy on me, O God." Why? Because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. David is saying, "Have mercy on me, God, not because of what I've done, not because I deserve it, because I don't. Because of your character, God, please have mercy on me. Because of who you are, because of your nature, please show compassion to me." Going back to that student, again, who had wet his bed, again, what saddened me the most is that he didn't know about my character. He didn't know me well enough to know that I'm not going to embarrass him. I'm not going to make him feel bad about the mess he made. Matter of fact, I was pleased when he told me, because now I can help him clean that up. That is the God we serve. God doesn't embarrass us when we do something wrong. He's not a grandfather in the sky looking to swat us down when we do bad things. His nature is love. And he says, when you mess up, bring it to me because I want you to know that love. The Bible talks about many different characteristics of God. Psalm 145 says this: "The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love." Check this one out: "The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation." He's full of mercy, he's full of love, he's full of compassion. When you mess up, that's the God that you're talking to. God is faithful even when we are not. And a lot of times we forget that. We think God is a person that's going to let us down. God is a God who wants to pick us up. It is because of God's character that he does not want us to be trapped in our mess forever. Just like I didn't want that young man to sleep in the bed that he had messed for the rest of the week. I couldn't even imagine that. God can't imagine you living a life where you feel guilty about what you've done. That is one of the reasons Jesus came to die for us, to wipe away that guilt and shame. Why don't you take advantage of that today? Again, what aspect of God's character can give you hope today? The Bible's full of different characteristics of God. He's almighty, he's holy, he's wise, he's merciful, and he is faithful. Even when we are not, our God is. The second thing is take responsibility for our mistakes. This is something the world doesn't like to say, doesn't like us to do. We like to make excuses. But David finds out he needs to take responsibility for what he's done. Psalm 51, 3 to 4 and 17 says this, "For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." I want to pause for a quick second. David says, "You and you alone have I sinned against." Have you ever read that and said, "What? What are you talking about, David? You sinned against Bathsheba. You caused her to commit adultery. You sinned against Uriah. You killed him. You sinned against your generals, who you may do that, who you use your influence to do negative. So what do you mean you sin only against God?" And some research that I've done, I don't think David is saying, "I haven't wronged anyone." Matter of fact, David is realizing how much he has wronged. He's realizing that he wronged Bathsheba, his generals, Uriah. He's realizing that. But what we don't understand is every time we wrong somebody, we also break God's law. Ultimately, we break God's heart. Why? Because we sin and we wrong people who are made in his image. A lot of times in society today, society wants us to make excuses for our behavior. So when we sin, we often get together with our friends who will say, "Oh, that's not a big thing. What you're doing is okay." We look at media and society that says, "What you're doing is fine." And we know in our heart that it is wrong. What David is realizing, I don't care what society says. I don't care what my friends might say who are so-called friends. I don't even care about the excuses I make for myself. God, I know when I break your law, it is you that I have sinned against. I know I've broken your heart. I wrong other people, but it's your law that I have broken. I have stepped on. I've called it trash. Nathan comes to him during this time and says, "Do you despise God's law? God told you clearly, you're not supposed to commit adultery, you're not supposed to kill, and yet look what you're doing, and look at the results. Do you hate God's law who has rescued you and saved you so much?" This is what David is saying. David's meaning, I've wronged other people, but when I wrong other people, ultimately, I break God's law. I break his heart, and that is what he is saying here. Again, my handling of the situation with the young man was reflective on how he handled the situation. When I called the student in and asked him, "Did you wet the bed?" he was honest about it. "Yes, I did." He didn't blame it on Billy Bob, who gave him a drink of water before he went to bed. No, ultimately it's his responsibility. Or get this, wouldn't this have been even worse? "Yeah, I wet the bed, but you're the counselor, so you clean it up." My response would have been totally different. But his response was, "Yes, I did that, and I feel bad about it." You see, a lot of times we sin, and yet we tell God, "Hey, yeah, I sin. You're still supposed to forgive me, right?" It's like saying, "I made the mess, God, you go clean it up." That's not what David does. David says, "God, I made this mess. It's my fault. God, please help me." Whenever you come to God and you say, "God, I messed up big time. Will you forgive me? Will you help me?" God is always there. That stirs God's heart. That gives God his compassion towards us. When he realizes that we are coming to him humbly. 1 John says this, "If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Check this out. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. I don't care what your friends at school say. I don't care what the media says. If you know by God's law what you're doing is wrong, then you're breaking his heart. And you need to humbly come and say, God, I take responsibility for this. A lot of times people get stuck in guilt and shame because they don't realize, I need to take responsibility for what I did. I need to own up to it. Again, God's power and forgiveness are present when we take responsibility and we humble ourselves. What choices do you need to take responsibility for today? Here's a quote by Winston Churchill that I like. The price of greatness is responsibility. The difference between people who just live life and people who actually do great in life and succeed is because they take responsibility. Next thing we learn is to be honest about the impact of our sin. Be honest about the impact of our sin. Verses 7 through 11 says this, purify me from my sins, I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. David's now realizing the impact his sin has caused. Not only did he cause someone to commit adultery, not only did he negatively influence his generals, not only did he kill somebody, but he's realizing, God, I'm miserable. This world will say, do whatever you want, whatever you feel is right, whatever makes you feel good, and we partake in that. And we feel great for a little bit. But long term, don't we feel bad about it? I can't believe I gave into that again. David's realizing, when I sin, it makes me feel bad, God. This is why you told me not to do it in the first place, because you don't want me to have that feeling. He says, remove the stain of guilt. When we sin, we feel that icky feeling inside. We know we've done something we're not supposed to. The Bible records Adam and Eve, when they first took that bite of the fruit, that God told them, you can have anything in this garden except this one thing. When they did that one thing, they instantly felt different. Something happened to them. And David recognizes it here. Do not banish me from your presence. When we sin, there's then a void that opens up between us and God. We feel distant from God because, again, our sin is present. I want to take a moment and say how serious this is. There's a lot of people who get into depression and go on even to hurt themselves because they're still feeling guilt and shame for something they have done. Again, God doesn't want you to stay in that. He wants you to be honest about the impact of your sin. Once again, going back to that young man in the cabin, the only reason I knew something happened is because I started to smell something was wrong. It doesn't matter that he made the bed. It doesn't matter that he tried to cover it up. The impact of what he did was starting to spread. It doesn't matter how well we try to cover something up. The impact of when we do wrong is going to start to affect us and going to affect the lives of us, of those around us. Again, we can only cover something up for so long. Even when we try to cover up sin and make it like we didn't do anything too bad, we know deep down that we did. Romans 1 says this. I'm not going to read you the whole passage. It's a beautiful passage if you get a chance to read it. But it says, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. It goes on to say a list of things that they did. And then it picks up again in 30. They invent new ways of sinning and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them as well. David's sin started to cause other people to sin as well. His cover-up involved other people. His issue became the issue of others around him. Again, we can't be free from what we try to hide from. If you want to be truly set free from something you're struggling with, you need to admit that it is a problem. What price are you and others starting to pay for your choices? my last main point, then we just have a few more things, is this. Again, this is a positive sermon. This is good news. When you're stuck in your guilt and your shame, this is what you need to do. Ask for forgiveness and accept help. Psalm 51, 12 through 15 says this, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you." David says, I realize what I've done, and God, I can't clean this up by myself. God, I need you to make me willing to obey you. Isn't that an interesting promise of Scripture and repeats it over and over again? God, I want to follow you, but I'm incapable of it. God, please help me desire to follow you. And if you do, I will teach that to others. To all my friends who are involved in stuff that they shouldn't be. All my coworkers who are gossiping about someone that they shouldn't be. To family members and friends who say something is right when I know it's wrong. God, please cleanse me of this, not just for my sake, so I can go and tell others about this. Because I don't want others to feel the way I'm feeling now. This is love. Love is not allowing someone to do whatever they want to do. Love is standing up and say, I think you're going down the wrong path, and I love you enough to tell you. I don't want you to be here 5, 10, 20 years from now and say, why did you never tell me about this? Love is saying, God, please forgive me and help me to share that with my friends. I'm not sure what happened to that young man in the cabin once he grew up. Again, that was probably 15 years now. But I hope in that one moment that he felt something, that he felt relief, that this thing that he had been hiding for a couple days, he no longer had to hide, that he felt that my help was there, and more importantly, that I cared about him. And I hope that as he grew up, he might have used that situation to share hope with someone else. Someone else who might have stepped into his life and might have felt embarrassed about something, that he would use that experience to say, hey, I felt that way too, and this is what happened. Let me be that person and help you clean up your mess as well. Are you going to be that person for someone else? Again, it's important for us when we're feeling like we're sitting in our mess to bring it to God, ask for forgiveness, and to be set free. Have you ever noticed that cops often handcuff you to yourself? That's what sin does. It handcuffs you to yourself. So your focus is on you and what you're going through. But when you're free, you're able to help other people. And that is what God wants you to do. Again, Galatians 6 says something very interesting. We actually talked about this in Sunday school. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and this way obey the law of Christ." Shame is contagious, so is God's cleansing. Shame is contagious, but so is God's cleansing. If you've really felt that feeling of being forgiven by God and say, this is a new day, I don't have to feel that shame I used to felt before, you're going to want to share that with other people. What help do you need from God today? And who needs that help as well? We went through all of Psalm 51, and I hope, again, if you're going through the feeling of shame and guilt, you might take a look at that once you get home. Just a quick summary. If you're ever feeling guilty about something you've done in the past, or if you ever get to this way in the future, recall the goodness of God's character. One of the reasons Jesus came to earth, one of the reasons we're about to take communion, is to remind us that he paid the price ultimately for us. So we wouldn't have to be stuck in our own mess. He's already paid the price. He's already said, I'm here to help clean. Take responsibility for our mistakes. Be honest about the impact of our sin. Ask for forgiveness. Accept help. Before we end today, I have one last slide for you and a final thought. Guilt and conviction can actually be good things. I know the whole sermon title of this is to break free from guilt and shame. But guilt can actually be a good thing. It warns you that, I crossed the line. I did something that I wasn't supposed to do. And as long as that brings you back to God, then that is fine. But once we humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness, the Bible says there's no condemnation, which means, let me break it down in everyday language, there's no lasting shame for what you've done. If you did something and you knew it was wrong, and you ask God for forgiveness, God says it's over. It's like your sin is from the east, as far as the east is from the west. Casting Crowns has a song about that, and I was actually at Creation one year, and they had premiered that song, and the singer was saying where he got that from. And for him, when he was praying, God, how far is the east to the west? That doesn't make sense, God, I don't understand that. And he said God spoke to him. He said it's as far as one nail scarred hand to the other. Because of what Jesus has done, when you ask for forgiveness, it's over. Let it go. I don't care what friends, what family, what other people might say. You don't have to feel guilty about that. God has cleaned up your mess. Enjoy that. When I helped that young man clean up his bed, he was now able to sleep clean for the rest of the week. God wants you to sleep clean. He wants you to be free. My final thought as we close today is this. This is my other caution. Some of us carry with us what I like to call false guilt. Some of us have been wrong. Some of us have been abused, cheated on, lied to. If that is you today, I want to talk to you especially. What someone did to you is not your fault, and that is not your guilt and your shame to carry. Galatians goes on to say this. Each one of us should be responsible for our own conduct. God wants you to take responsibility for what you've done, but what someone else has done to you that was not right, let that go. A lot of times people who've been abused and depressed and gone through all this, and I've been there myself, you start to blame yourself, and you start to feel like less of a person, and you carry this shadow, this cloud with you. God says, I died for that too. You don't have to carry the guilt and shame that is someone else's. God says, let that go. That's between them and God. That is not for you to carry. God has given you a gift, the ability to be free from guilt and shame. Will you take advantage of that today? Let us pray. Father God, we read stories in the Bible, and one of the reasons we know the Bible is true is that you don't try to sugarcoat anything. You don't uphold David as this great hero. The Bible says that David was a man after your own heart, God, and we celebrate all the good that he's done. But David was human just like us. And David made some serious mistakes. And God, you know what? Before we judge David, we've made mistakes as well. And even if they might be different at times or the same, we know that ultimately we have wronged people and we've broken your heart. For anyone who's stuck in feeling shame and guilt today, God, I pray a special prayer for them. That they would realize that one of the reasons you came to earth is so that you would take on our mess. You cleanse our mess completely. And you said all you have to do now is, all we have to do is take responsibility and go to you and say, God, I made a mistake. I trust in you. I believe you. I believe that you sacrificed yourself for me. God, please cleanse me from this feeling. And please give me the ability to do what you want me to do. And when you do that, restore to me my joy and make me willing to tell others about that. That way they can follow you as well. That was David's prayer, and that's our prayer today. God, I just pray for those here who might have already asked for forgiveness, and they know that you've forgiven them. They know your character, but they still hold on to that. They're still handcuffed to the past. Father God, I pray that they would know that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I don't care what other people say around us. We no longer have to feel guilty about that. And when someone brings that up and brings up our past, we point to our future, knowing that we will spend forever with you. And eternity starts today. Forgiveness starts today. And freedom from shame and guilt starts today. Finally, God, I pray for anyone who's ever been abused or feel like they've been wrong. God, I've been there myself. I know the effects it has on somebody. It eats you inside and you start to blame yourself. God, I pray in those situations, we might take honest responsibility for what is our situation, but we would give the rest to you. Some of us need to let people own their sin and their mess. And not to hate them, not to judge them, but simply say, God, that's between you and them. Set me free from that responsibility. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your joy. And we thank you for your promise that you are faithful even when we are not. So we can have a smile on our face and joy in our hearts when you set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Up next we have our